You guys are a loving bunch, I'm telling you. That's good. So, I want to know who sinned that we're still in cold weather. Whose fault is that, right? I've lived in warmer places most of my life. And I moved to Michigan, and actually, I went to school in St. Paul before I moved here. Yeah. Yes. And I knew immediately how I would die because my feet were cold, and the next winter my ankles were cold. And it's slowly moving up, and it's going to get my vital organs at some point, and that'll be the end. My wife says, you're not funny. But it's good to be with you again. We've got a long text today. Think a good thought for me as I try to remember it. But we're going to preach from John 9 today. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither this man or his parents sinned. He was born this way so that the works of God might be revealed in him." We must do the works of the one who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming and no one can do work in the dark. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And while he was saying this, he spat on the ground and made mud from the saliva, and he placed it on the man's eyes and sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash. Now, Siloam means sent. So, the man went and washed, and he returned able to see. Now, when the neighbors and others who saw him begging, who saw him as a beggar, saw him, they said, "Is this not the man who sits and begs?" And some said, "Yep, it's him." And others said, "No, just someone who looks like him." But the man said, "I am he, it's me." And they began to ask him, "How then did you receive your sight?" And he said, "Jesus came to me and put mud on my eyes and asked me to wash in the pool of Siloam. And I recovered, and my sight was restored." "Where is this Jesus?" He answered, "I don't know." So they took him to the Pharisees, the man who was previously blind. Now, all of this happened on the Sabbath. Jesus created the mud and opened eyes on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees wanted to know, "How is it that you received your sight?" Well, he put mud on my eyes, he sent me to wash, and I received my sight. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is a sinner because he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how could a sinner do the signs that this man does? They were divided. And so they asked the blind man, who do you say? What do you say about this man? He said, he's a prophet. Now, some of them didn't believe that he had been born blind and had now had his sight received until they invited his parents to come and to explain this whole thing to him. They said, he is our son, and he was born blind, but we have no idea how his sight was restored or who it was that did that for him. You know, you should ask him. He is of age. Now, they said that because they were afraid, because they had heard that if you confess Jesus to be the Messiah, they would cast you out of the synagogue. And that's why they said, ask him, he is of age. And so the Pharisees sent for the man a second time and said, give glory to God. This man is a sinner. And the blind man said, whether or not he is a sinner, I don't know. This I know, that I was once blind, but now I see. Well, what did he do? How did he do this? I've told you already, and you would not believe me. Do you too want to become his disciples? I know, I'm glad you see the humor. And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that Moses listens to God. Where this man came from, we do not know. And the blind man said, this it is an astonishing thing. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but listens to those who worship him and obey him. He could do none of these things if he were not from God. And they sneered at him and said, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they drove him out. Now, when Jesus heard that they drove him out, he found the man. And he asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man said, the man said, who is he? So that I might believe in him. And Jesus said, you have seen him, and the one speaking to you is the Son of Man. And he believed, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, I have come into the world for judgment, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see might become blind. And there was a Pharisee nearby, and he said, "Surely we are not blind." And he said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." How did I do? You're okay? The word of the Lord. So here's a pro tip for reading scripture. Whenever there is a dispute between Jesus and the Pharisees, you want to be on Jesus' side. So I know you know that, but here's the thing that kind of has me worried. I've come into the world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. If you say you see, your sin remains. I've invested a good bit of my time and money into seeing. I have more degrees than a person should have. Way more. I'm compensating for something. But I pursued all that because I wanted to see. I wanted to know things. I wanted to be able to share those things with others. I have a big stake in seeing. And, you know, I've been a member of the Church of Christ all my life, which is now, and I'm on the back nine. So it's been a minute, and I know that as a movement, we have a big stake in seeing. That we see things better than other groups see them. If you say you see, your sin remains. Let's put a pin in that for a minute. And hope that by the end, we'll be able to say, we're on Jesus' side and not the Pharisees. Fingers crossed. Here we go. So if we did a word cloud from John 9, you know what word clouds are? They take the paragraphs and they count the words and they create a little word cloud out of it. Well, the word sent would be there, and the word blind would be there, and certainly the word see would be there. It'd be the big one in the middle of the word cloud, because everyone is seeing something in John 9. And I'm convinced. Another pro tip, theologically speaking, that you see what you look at. We good? But what you look at keeps you from seeing other things. So what you look at can make you blind to other things. All kinds of seeing going on in the text. The first verse says, Jesus was walking along and he saw a man blind from birth. He saw him. He noticed. I mean, of all the things that Jesus is carrying around, we shouldn't miss the description that he sees. like God in Exodus, who looks upon the suffering of its people and hears their cries and responds. So Jesus here sees a man blind from birth. The disciples see a theological conundrum. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They're just right out of seminary, and they think that you make your way in the world by answering difficult theological questions. So they want to know, who sinned, this man or his parents? They want to create a little cause and effect world. They're doing math. Doing bad equals sin. A good outcome equals righteousness. I'm struck by how stubborn and persistent that way of viewing the world is. It's striking to me. I think, number one, I think you must have a terribly small sample size, because I know plenty of people who, to all appearances, are thriving, but who are despicable. And I know good-hearted, true people who have struggled their whole life. The math doesn't add up. You can't tell, you can't know God's agency in the world through a direct cause and effect kind of reasoning. It's more complex than that. It's not the case that poor people are less virtuous than rich people. It's not the case that people with 20/20 vision are more virtuous than people who are blind, even the people who are born blind. But it persists, it's deep within us, this kind of karma view of the world, where we say, you get back what you put in. And I don't care how much you know Jesus or what a good theologian you are, when crushing disappointment comes your way, you say, what did I do? What did I do wrong? But Jesus will have none of it. He says, neither the man or his parents sinned to bring this on him. It's not how it works. Rather, he was born the way he is so that God's work could be revealed in his life, just like in your life. You are the way you are so that God's good work can be revealed in your life and in my life. And so we should work while it's light so that the light of the world can be seen through what God would do through our lives. So the disciples see a doctrinal problem, but they're blind to God. The neighbors see, oh, the neighbors, you know, they're always looking. We've got a neighbor. I trust that none of them will watch this. But we have a neighbor who sees everything. You know, he is the Mrs. Kravitz of our neighborhood. So you have to be a certain age to get that. But watch Bewitched on Nick at Night sometime and it'll become clear. The neighbors see him as a beggar. The first time that word appears is in relation to the neighbors. The neighbors see him as a beggar, as one who sits and begs. They don't see him, at least described here, as a blind man. He is seen more as a problem than as an object of concern and compassion. Maybe an annoyance rather than someone who provides an opportunity for the work of God to be seen in his life. They see a problem and they're blind to mercy. The Pharisees see all kinds of things, right? They see a Sabbath violation. They continually ask the question, I'm convinced, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has done work on the Sabbath. And that makes him a lawbreaker. That makes him one unfit for the kingdom of God. They see theology as kind of a way of marking the boundaries and maintaining them. And if you're constantly looking at the boundaries, you're not looking at the center. If you're constantly maintaining the boundaries, you don't see what's at the heart of the thing. So you see things, but you're blind to others. In this case, you're blind to recognizing who Jesus actually is. You say you're following Moses, but if you were, you'd know who Jesus is, right? Seeing some things, blind to other things. The parents are just blind, period. They're blind to fear. It's like they're covering their eyes in the story and saying, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. We're afraid, we do not know, do not ask us. Because we're afraid something bad might happen to us. And fear makes you blind. Fear is the only thing you can see when you're afraid. It's like the parents and the blind man have switched places. They saw, but now they're blind. He was blind, but now he sees. The blind man sees. The blind man sees. The blind man sees. And he sees in the story. I'm sorry, I got a thing going here. He sees. Sorry about that back there on the sound. He sees by the very virtue of the fact that he's blind. He sees now by the very virtue of the fact that he's a beggar. He sees by the very virtue of the fact that he was in need and someone delivered him. And that allows him to cut through all the baloney. It allows him to escape the Pharisees' silly games of their boundary maintenance. He says, look, I don't have a scorecard big enough to tell me whether or not a person's a sinner, but this is what I know. I was blind, and now I see. I was blind, a beggar, and now I see. So I don't know what games you guys are playing, but it seems pretty clear that this guy is a prophet. It seems pretty clear to me that this guy is from God. And it's an easy move in the end when Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, show me. Well, I'm the Son. Yes, I believe. I was blind, but now I see. So we return to the question, do you see? What do you see? Are you willing to be blind so that you can be without blame? Or are you so locked into seeing that you miss everything about God going on around you? That's a question our text poses today. And look, all of us have blind spots, right? All of us see certain things and, as a result, miss other things. Not a single one of us today is here because we are without fault in this regard. We see things that blind us to other things. The test that this text would call us to is the blind beggar text. Test, not text. In other words, can we learn to see the world as a blind beggar? Can we learn to see the world through the lens, I was blind, but now I see? Can we learn to notice God around us through profound actions of mercy? And that may be the answer to the question of whether or not God is doing works in your life that reveal His righteousness. Look, it's a really heavy burden to always be right, isn't it, honey? To always be the one who sees. Laid down. Lay it down. Confess before God that you're blind unless He allows you to see. Be blind for the sake of Jesus coming along the road and noticing you. That's the gospel today. Amen.